Well, we wanted to do our own little thank yous if we could. First of all, I just want to thank you for listening to this preacher. Now, some of you have been listening to me 10 times. I'm getting tired of hearing my own voice, and so I know you must be exhausted as well. But thank you for honoring God and honoring me and inviting me to speak the word of God to you. It's obvious you are hungry for God and hungry for his word, so my job's easy. Thank you for that. If I said anything or did anything or dressed in a way that was offensive to you, I apologize, and I hope that wasn't in any way an impediment to you receiving the word of God. Thank you for flying out my family to join me at this camp. Jim and I have been talking about this for, I think, 3 or 4 years now, so it's been a long time in coming. Jim stole my thunder. I had a whole lot of people to thank. I actually, you know, Debbie and Robin, and I actually put in my notes for Carl, Energizer Bunny. I actually have it written down. So I do think that name will stick. So let's stick with that. But I do want to thank someone who has not been thanked. And I know you feel the way that I do about Jim Steele. Pastor Jim is a humble, unpretentious, godly, winsome, gracious shepherd. He is rightly positioned for his role as president of Multnomah Holiness Association. So would you join me in expressing thanks to him for all his work? So my family actually wants to add to the thanks as well, so they're going to step up to the mic.
We're changing up our order here. I wanted to thank a really special couple, Ralph and Frankie, right over here in the front. They're the cute older couple sitting right over there, and they generously loaned us their car this week. And that was such an unexpected blessing, just to be able to see some of your beautiful state of Oregon a couple afternoons this week. And it's definitely better than Indiana. You told us that we had to go to Multnomah Falls, which we did this afternoon, so we really, really appreciated that. And Lenny's returning your keys now. We're all done. Yeah. And I'll just embarrass them a little bit further, but probably maybe 5 times this week, I said to Lenny, that's how I want to be when we're your age. You guys are just the cutest, fun, this sweet, loving couple. That's how, thank you for being a model to us, and I'm sure too, so many others here at the camp. So,
even though they're not here, I wanted to thank the Crafts, which is Doug and Dill, even though they're not here, about leading the youth and putting in time in their day to sow us to the word of God and telling us those really cool videos.
I can't read your handwriting.
But. Well, just, you know what to say.
All right, thank you for the boat rides, Mr. Weatherspoon, and the tubing. And I've never done that before, and it was awesome.
Thank you for the Snack Shack sisters for all your
It's another nickname that's gonna stick.
For all your time and effort, and also for putting all the activities together, which was really, really fun. So thank you.
No. Yeah. I'm going to preach tonight the greatest sermon ever preached. Am I on? Okay. I'm going to preach the greatest sermon ever preached. It's not my sermon, so I can say that. It's the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived. And you have probably read this sermon many, many, many times, dozens of times, some of you, maybe even 100 times, some of you. The manuscript for this sermon is Matthew chapters 5 through 7. But one of the problems we have with reading words on a page is that when we encounter them that way, and we do it so often, familiarity can almost breed contempt, and we maybe don't hear it the way it was originally delivered. And so what I want to do is deliver the Sermon on the Mount in the way that it was first delivered, not as words on a page for the eyes, but as words from the mouth for the ears. And I'm going to ask you to do something that a preacher should never ask a congregation to do, but I'm going to ask you to do it this time, and that is, do not open your Bibles. And I want you can read the Sermon on the Mount anytime, and if you're worried that I might have missed a word or a syllable, you can just listen online and check it with your Bible version. But don't rob yourself of hearing this, again, greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, and to receive it in a new and fresh way. And while I'm preaching it, let's each be asking ourselves, God, what do you want me to hear from your message? That which you lay on my heart, I will do. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by people. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Everyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and that anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said that anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And why do you swear by your own head? You cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks from you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even pagans do that? And if you greet only your brothers or sisters, what are you doing more than others? Do not even tax collectors do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before people to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be honored by people. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive people for their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show people they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to people you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single stature to their life? And why do you worry about your body, what you will wear? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother or sister's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, oh, let me remove the speck from your brother's eye, let me remove the speck from your eye, when all the while there's a plank in your own eye? First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray. Would you, in this moment of silence, simply talk to God about anything in that greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, Jesus? If there's anything that stood out to you that you need to confess, or maybe God confirmed something or affirmed something in your life, thank him for that. Whether that message and parts of it brought comfort or conviction or correction or challenge or commendation, just talk to God. Lord, there's just no getting around the fact that, to use Bonhoeffer's words, when you call a person to discipleship, you bid that person come and die to self. To give all that we are in exchange for all that you are, and we get the better end of that deal, no doubt. As I said in my first session, Lord, we don't just want food and fun and fellowship, though they're great things, and you use those things to form us, for sure. But if we leave this camp meeting unchanged, refusing perhaps to give areas of our lives over to you that you want to cleanse and redeem and restore, then we are the no better for the weak. You are the hound of heaven. You will not be content until you make us what you've determined we ought to be, because you love us. So God, we give ourselves to you. My brothers and sisters and I, we give ourselves to you. We refuse to play church. We refuse to play Christian games. We refuse to embody a religion in which we are central. And we enter into a relationship again, renewed, in which Jesus Christ is central to all that we are. Lord, we lay down our lives for you. Live in us and through us, and make us holy for your glory. In the name of Christ, our King, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
These altars are open. Please come as the Lord leads it on your heart. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come. Is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death dudes are calling, calling for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly. is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. This will be the last verse of the last meeting of this encampment. If God is speaking to your heart, don't leave without coming and talking to Him tonight. We don't know if we have tomorrow, so today is what we have. If God is speaking to you, step out tonight. Okay, last verse. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner.
There are many benedictions in God's word. The one I want to leave with you comes from Jude, one that I think we all can take with us and be ready to serve God. To Him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Everyone said, amen. Thank you all.